some of the work that we're doing here in Illinois, which has been supported by Raising Women's Voices, to look at what the ACA is actually doing for women. So I'll be talking a little bit about some of our efforts to assess the implementation of family planning policies in the Affordable Care Act, and how that is shaping our policy work looking forward. There we go. Before I do that, I wanted to talk a little bit about EverThrive, especially since we're in my hometown. So EverThrive is a maternal and child health advocacy organization working to improve the health of women, children, and families across the state. So we do this in a lot of different ways. We do a lot of policy analysis and advocacy. That's where I spend a lot of my time, but also community development and convening stakeholders across the state. Like I said, we're based here in Chicago, but we work with folks all across Illinois and many national partners as well. We take a really broad approach to maternal and child health work, so I encourage you to take a look at the work that we're doing. I represent our Health Reform Initiative, which is really devoted to promoting policies which improve access to primary care and to health insurance more generally. I'm also really excited. I'm the regional coordinator here in Illinois for Raising Women's Voices, and greatly appreciate the resources that I get from that group. I have no disclosures. That's easy. Okay, so the Affordable Care Act is really important for a lot of reasons, right? But one of the things it does that's of relevance to this group today is it really creates a lot of new opportunities for women to get the care that they need. It does this first and foremost through creating access to health coverage, right? Through the marketplaces, through the expansion of Medicaid in more than half of states, women are getting coverage. More than half of our marketplace enrollees here in Illinois are women. So this is really important. The other thing that it does is it improves our benefits, right? So the most important, the thing that I'm sure everybody here knows about, and I promise we're going to get to the new stuff in a second, is it guarantees access to birth control for women without cost sharing. The way we talk about this, right, is to tell women, you now have access to the full range of FDA-approved contraceptions without cost sharing, no cost to you. And that's how we talk about it. What we wanted to know is, what does that really look like? Because that's how we talk about it, but what the rules say is a little different. There's a little bit of nuance, right? So the rules say, as of May of this year when they were clarified, or the guidance says, that the plans must cover at least one product in each method category as laid out by the FDA, and that should be covered without cost sharing, and if you needed something else for this list of reasons, then you could go through a waiver process. So it's not as clear as we say, right? We say all FDA-approved methods. So we wanted to look at what the insurance companies were actually doing with that guidance. How are they interpreting that? How are they implementing that? And what did that mean for women on the ground? So we undertook a long process to review coverage for contraception in all of our qualified health plans, those plans that are available through the marketplace. In Illinois, we have a very robust marketplace. In 2015, we had nearly 500 plans from 8 carriers. We did not look at all 500 plans, but we did pull a sample of plans from 3 of our rating areas. So Chicago, obviously our largest rating area, from a rating area in central Illinois around our capital, which is a mix of rural and urban, and then from a fully rural rating area in downstate Illinois, because we wanted to see if that made any difference. We looked at about 50 plans. What we learned many months into this process is when you're looking at plans on the marketplace, it turns out carriers really have 1 to 3 formularies. So it was a little bit easier. We'd have to look at 50 formularies. We started this process in December, and like I said, our goal was really to look at what coverage women had for contraception. We also looked at coverage for abortion in these plans, and we wanted to understand what the process was actually like for women. So if I'm shopping through healthcare.gov, Illinois uses the federal marketplace, what am I going to see? So we wanted to assess the transparency in this information as well. So we went through publicly available documents, we made phone calls to insurance companies as secret shoppers, and that's how we spent most of our time trying to understand this. It took us about 6 months. This is the second time we've done this. The first time took even longer, and we got much less information out of it. So we did see improvements in that we were able to finish the process. But we started in December. We did not publish our report until June. So that probably gives you some ideas about our findings in terms of transparency. So before I talk about what we actually found, let's talk about why we did this, right? So in Illinois, for many, many years, we've operated an 1115 family planning waiver, which allowed access to family planning services for women who were un- or underinsured and below 200% of the federal poverty level, which is above our Medicaid eligibility. This program allowed these women to access the services that they needed in order to plan their pregnancies. So women were able to get birth control, but also STD testing and counseling and other information from those family planning providers. They were able to go to any Medicaid provider across the state. Illinois Healthy Women was a really important program which provided really good access to birth control. Our Medicaid program has been committed to providing comprehensive access to family planning services. There's no step therapy, there's no prior authorization. They cover most of the products that are available and typically will cover all of the products. So they provide this really robust coverage, and women in Illinois Healthy Women have that. Unfortunately, you may have noticed that I've been using the past tense. So in Illinois, our administration wanted to make clear that we were committed to moving the Affordable Care Act forward. We expanded Medicaid in 2013. We actually expanded Medicaid early in Cook County, so we were able to start enrolling people much earlier in 2013 and getting them into expanded Medicaid. We went with a partnership marketplace, so we were still able to provide that support. But that meant that the administration felt it was time to retire this waiver program. So on January 1st of 2015, we lost this program. So we started to think a lot about those women. The administration said women have access to coverage, and that coverage is going to cover all FDA-approved birth control with no cost sharing. So we thought a lot about that, and we thought, is that really what those women are getting? So this is part of the effort around there. At the same time this program was canceled, through our work with navigators, we were hearing that maybe coverage wasn't as comprehensive as we thought. We were talking to women who couldn't get access to their preferred method or could have access to their preferred method but had some sort of cost sharing which made it not likely that they would actually use it. So we wanted to understand what was happening there as well, how those things came together. So we undertook the study. And like I said, we spent 6 months looking at our carriers on the marketplace. And what we developed was this chart, and this is just for family planning coverage, or for birth control coverage, I'm sorry. I know it's a little bit hard to read, but what you can see here along the left side are the categories of coverage that we looked at. There are 18 method categories outlined by the FDA. We did not look at all of them. We didn't look at sterilization, we didn't look at condoms, and we, in oral contraception, did not look at all three categories. This is in large part because the guidance as it was when we started this process did not make clear that those were three separate categories. So that guidance changed pretty late in the process for us. So we looked at all of the injections, all of the implants that were on the market at the time, or all the implants, all of the IUDs that were on the market at the time. What's missing here is Lilaita. We looked at the patches, the ring, all of the emergency contraception options, and our cervical caps and diaphragms. For oral contraception, we had to limit ourselves to six because we were already looking at 50 plans. So we worked with the University of Chicago Section of Family Planning and Contraceptive Research for this whole process, but they worked with their doctors and identified six oral contraceptive options, both brand and generic, which they felt a lot of women were being prescribed at the time. So we went through and we figured out, is it covered? Is it covered without cost sharing? So the green squares are those methods which were covered without cost sharing in the formulary, in publicly available documents. The oranges squares with the NC are those which were not covered at all, and the white squares are those which were covered in the formulary but had some sort of cost sharing attached. They were at some tier where they were no longer free. So what you see here is not all FDA-approved birth control is available without cost sharing. What I think is important is what we found before we talked to insurance companies. So as part of this process, we actually spent 3 weeks at the very end working with our insurance companies to sort of do a few things, right? We wanted to advocate to them to change their coverage. We also wanted to understand why they made the decisions that they did, and we wanted them to verify that we hadn't missed something. We wanted to be seen as good partners since we did take this to the press. When we brought our chart to them, this is what it looked like. There are a few reasons that it changed. You can see a lot less green. So three reasons it changed. One, we came to them between when the new guidance was issued in May and July 1 when the guidance became effective. So some of the carriers told us that they were going to shift their coverage because of what they saw in the guidance. In particular, most of the carriers did not think of the NuvaRing as different from oral contraception, right? This was a problem that many other groups had identified. And the reason they felt this way is because the hormonal makeup is similar to oral contraception, but you may have noticed the delivery method is fundamentally different. So NuvaRing coverage was really important. The other category where we saw huge gains in coverage was on Ella. Same thing. Ella was not something that most of the carriers had thought of as separate from other emergency contraception. Again, delivery method fundamentally different. Ella is effective for up to 5 days after unprotected sex as opposed to 3 days for most other methods. So this was really important that those were set out. And we can see, again, Ella is near the bottom. It becomes almost all green, whereas before it was almost all white. So also, this is on our website, so I can make sure folks get a copy because I know it's hard to look at here. The other places that we saw changes were in the IUDs and the implants. And this, in this perspective, most of the plans were compliant with the guidance as they interpreted it and as we interpreted it prior to the clarification in May. But what changed was Kaiser Family Foundation, National Men's Law Center, many other states were doing the same process at the same time as us, right? They were doing these reports and they were taking it to the press. And they were saying, people are not covering IUDs. They're not covering IUDs, they're not covering implants. Women want them. When they are accessible, women take them. They're effective, they're safe. Why aren't they covering them, right? There was this big swell of support from the ground, I think in March, April. And so we went from okay coverage for IUDs and implants, they're in the middle there, to universal coverage. So that green block across the center, that's the work of advocates. The other thing that happened here is we brought them a chart which showed how they compared to their competitors and told them we were going to publish it. So, you know, insurance companies are very PR sensitive. This was actually not something I anticipated, and for those of you in other states who might be considering something like this, you should feel encouraged. We got every insurance company to meet with us, except for Assurance, the first on the list, because they pulled out of the market. They stopped selling health insurance. So we got everybody to meet with us, we got everybody to give us a public statement, and we got every single plan to actually change their coverage in some way. It was really exciting. thank you. The other part I want to mention, and I don't have a pretty graphic for that, is that we also looked at abortion coverage. We don't have a pretty graphic for it because it was almost impossible to figure out. I'm going to talk about transparency in a second. What we found in Illinois is that most of our plans are not covering elective abortion. Most of our plans are not covering medically necessary abortion. There's no legal basis for this in the state of Illinois. We do not have laws restricting abortion coverage at all. We're going to be looking at this more closely as we go into this process again. So the last piece I want to talk about are the formularies, the actual transparency. So what we found, if we're thinking about how women actually experience this, is that it's really hard to figure out what's covered. So this is an example of a formulary that I, for one of the carriers in Illinois, which was not the most consumer-friendly formulary. You can see they actually broke birth control into three different sections. So they have one section under the category of hormones called birth control. Later, they have a category called estrogens, which includes some of our birth control methods. And then later, they have progestins, which includes more methods. And then elsewhere in the document, I didn't pull this, but in the sort of preamble, they say, oral contraceptive, we just cover all of the generics, and they don't list them out. Other companies, oh, and what's missing from here, right? No devices. We know that devices are not prescription drugs, right? Because we're sort of in the know, we do this work. Most women don't realize that their IUD is different than their pill. So they see that there's no IUDs listed here. This company, because we have full coverage of IUDs, is covering all of the IUDs with no cost sharing. But you can't know that if you look at the formulary. Some companies had better resources. So this is from another carrier, and I realize it's hard to read, but the idea is this is actually a one-page fact sheet which lists all of the birth control that they cover without cost sharing. It lists it by name. It includes both prescription drugs and devices, diaphragms and cervical caps. It includes information about how to learn more about wellness. This was updated effective July 1 for the new guidance. The problem with this is we found this 5 months into the process with the first carrier that we looked at. And that's because women are filtering through their marketplaces, right? The marketplace is going to link to your summary benefits and coverage and to your formulary and to your provider network. So you have to rely on women really taking their time to look around and find this information. Once we found this, we found a lot of our carriers had it, but we had to know to search for it. So transparency leaves much to be desired. Same was true, and it was actually much worse for abortion coverage. So most plans, there's no real requirement on how they talk about abortion coverage. Most of the plans didn't include this information in their publicly available documents. What they had in their documents contradicted with what their call centers said, and the call centers were not prepared to talk about abortion coverage. Really uncomfortable conversations, people whispering the words rape when they talked about the instances in which this would be covered. So we, to wrap up, we went to our insurance carriers. As I said, we talked to them for 3 weeks. In our report, we included some recommendations, a lot of what I've already talked about. Cover more methods. The research is showing that when a woman has access to her preferred method, not just the best available through her insurance company, she is going to use that method much more effectively. We want to make sure that women have access to their method. We think that's what the ACA intends, and we are looking at legislative options to make sure that that's what women get. We also talked to them a lot about making their formularies more consumer-friendly. Very simply, include your devices alongside your prescription drugs. Include a link at the birth control category, and please only have one birth control category. Include a link there to your women's health fact sheet. Makes a really big difference. We also included some recommendations for our regulatory agencies and for providers and consumers. Women and their doctors need to know that this is not exactly, it's not panning out exactly the way that we talk about it. And we should be working to report any time that we're not able to access coverage. We should be requesting those waivers because that's going to help in advocacy efforts down the road. So that is that.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Are there any quick clarifying questions for Kathy? Yeah.
So Kathy, when you communicate with the insurance
companies,
what are you talking to government relations, or who are you talking to?
Yeah, so a mix. So every carrier had an ACA compliance officer or something like that. They also all had prevention people, and then government affairs was usually there. We're an advocacy organization, so in many cases our entry was through either the lobbyist or through their marketplace.